Leicester. A lot of my chaverim in Florida already.
Oh, I get it. Okay. I know Lenny's.
Good morning, everybody. As always, pleasure to see you all here and today and next to Yasha Kol, for those of you who are able to come. It's a great Kiddush Hashem, and it's wonderful and inspiring to see how much desire to learn Torah there is in this community. Once again, I have the dubious privilege of introducing somebody who certainly needs no introduction to this group. Stephen Pruzanski, of course, we all know him as the Rav of our congregation B'nai Shurin here in Teaneck, the largest Orthodox shul here. And I could give you all his credentials about where he grew up, where he went to school, he went to Columbia, he went to Cardoza, has a degree in law. He learned in Far Rockaway, has smicha from Rabbi Sheikh. I can go on and on, but when I was looking over, you know, his little blurbs about who he was, what I was most struck with, which again might not be foremost in everybody's heads, is the long, long list of organizations, both in the United States and Baruch Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, to which he has contributed significantly. And that to me is a great, great, great Kiddush Hashem. And the number of those organizations that have both recognized what he's done and honored him for it is really remarkable. So without further ado, Kol HaRav, and Dr. Pruzanski.
Hi, Dr. Fai, thank you very much for the introduction.
Yeah, applause, sure. Why not?
Okay. All right. I was wondering where all of you are. So many familiar faces. Now I know where you hang out. All right, so the shiur this morning is entitled The Rabbinate as Inheritance, subtitled Does My Son, Rabbi Ari Pruzanski, Have First Claim on My Job Come This Summer? It's a very hotly litigated and contested issue in Jewish life for a good, say, 1,000 years already. What is the question, you would ask? Well, let's start with a question. In number one, the tshuva of the Ginas Viradim in Yeridea Klal Gimel Simon Ches, that was Rav Avram Halevi, he lived in the 17th century. Case happened in Tzvat in the 1500s. Maise B'Tzvat, when Reb Shlomo Alkobetz, famous to us for, among other things, writing the L'cha Dodi and incorporating in Jewish life, I just heard someone say the other day, interestingly, that's the last addition to the tefillah that was accepted by all Klal Yisrael. All right, we're going on half a millennium now. We can't agree on anything. But nonetheless, Shlomo Alkobetz wanted to appoint Rav Moshe Alshich as the Rav in Tzvat, and they produced Hetchilu Achtom B'Shtar. They started writing the document, and it was stopped. Minon, he was stopped. I'm sorry. It was Shlomo Alkobetz who prevented the Kohol from appointing Rav Moshe Alshich as the Rav in Tzvat, because the previous Rav, Rav Avram Shalem, had died, and they wanted to appoint his son as the Rav in Tzvat. Slight problem, he wasn't yet bar mitzvah. But they were willing to wait. And in fact, they delayed. They did not appoint Rav Moshe Alshich the Rav. Okay? And he said, it's mutter to do that. Look at three lines from the bottom. Avalemarotze matzibula manos od marbit star mora horos yenosav albano shomeis rashonheim. If they want to appoint another Rav, an assistant Rav, to this young child of Rav Avraham Shalem as another Mora HaRon town, they're allowed to do that. But they cannot take away the job from the son of the previous rabbi, son of the deceased. Well, what is that based on? You see that there are positions in Jewish life that are hereditary, famous to us. Number two, the Gemara Menachos Daf Kuf Tes Amud Beis tells the famous story when Shimon HaTzadik died. He said, "Chonyo bni yishamesh tachtai." My son Chonyo will succeed me. Chonyo's brother Shimi was not happy about it, and the famous story ensued. Chonyo was a complete amaretz, and Shimi did not know what to do. Shimi said to him that on the day that you begin your avoda, you have to wear your wife's skirt. So he showed up in the Beis HaMikdash wearing his wife's skirt, and of course he said to them, he only did this to show the ridicule that he has for the task of Kohen Gadol. Bikshu Echav HaKodem L'Hargo, his brother Kohen wanted to kill him. Chonyo instead ran off Alexandria. There he built what became known as Beis Chonyo, Mikdash Chonyo, his own Beis HaMikdash in Alexandria, and his brother did succeed him. But the point is, it was the decision of Shimon HaTzadik, who's the Kohen Gadol, to say his son will take over for him. So too, number three, the Gemara Ksuva Staf Kuf Gimel, Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi was on his deathbed. He gave a number of instructions. I have a different sheet in front of me, but the number should be the same. Shimon Beni Chacham, my son Shimon Chacham, meaning Rosh Yeshiva, but Gamliel Beni Nasi. My son Gamliel, not as big a Talmud Chacham as Shimon, should be the Nasi, succeed me as the Nasi. Why did he do that? So the Gemara says, this will be a factor in our deliberations today, granted that Gamliel may not have been his brother's peer or a worthy successor to his father's in terms of his wisdom, which his brother Shimon did have, but in terms of Yerashchet, towards Yerushalayim, he was superior to his brother, and therefore worthy of being the Nasi. Now all this comes from the din of Malchus. As the Rambam writes in number 4, in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin, Kishamit Ma'amidim HaMelech, Moshchen Osa B'Shem HaMishcha, when a king is appointed, he's anointed with the anointing oil, Ma'acha Shemoshchen HaMelech, once the king is anointed with oil, then he and his sons inherit that position forever. Shamalchus Yerusha, royalty, the monarchy, is an inheritance. Shenemar leman yarich yamim mamachto hu uvanav bekerav Yisrael, pasuk in Shoftim, that he will prolong his days upon the throne, he and his sons, Beker of Yisrael. And the Rambam continues, Hiniach ben Katan, if the child is young, Mishamer lo melucha cheyagdil, we hold the melucha for him until he becomes of age. What's the case? Ben Sheva Shinim, Yosh B'macho, the Aftar for Parsha Shkalim. Yehoyado, Kohen Gadol waited for Yoash. He was 7 years old. They had to hide him, so his nutty grandmother didn't kill him. But nonetheless, it was his melucha because of his father. Now you understand where Rabbi Shlomo Alkabetz was coming from in Tzfat, holding the rabbin of Tzfat until the child of Rabbi Shalem became bar mitzvah. V'lo hamal, and these are the key words. V'lo hamalchus bilvad. This does not just apply to royalty, but all sararos, all positions of authority, all minuyim, all appointed positions in Israel, they are considered inheritance from the bearer of the position to his son, grandson, ad olam, forever. V'hu, and again this now echoes the Gemara Ksuvos, as long as he's more or less a worthy heir. If he was God-fearing but not so wise, so chachm we could deal with. Give him an associate, give him an aide, give him advisors. But someone who has no, he's not God fearing, then even though he's very wise, that's not going to work. So Yerushalayim is the foundation. Chachma, you could build on that. But nonetheless, Malchus, Srara, every Minui, that belongs to the bearer of the position, and it's inherited by the offspring as well. This is based on the Sifri, number 5, in Dvar Parsha Shoftim. Minay lechol parnasei Yisrael shebineim omdim tachtayim. How do you know that any position of leadership in Israel is hereditary? Talmud Lomar, hu uvanav bekerev Yisrael, and the Rambam reiterates this in number 6 in Hilchos Klei Mikdash, Perek Dalet, Halacha Chaf. He says at the bottom, Milamed Shamalchus Yerusha, v'hu adin l'chol surab shebekerev Yisrael, shazochela zochela atzmo ulezaro. It goes to his descendants as well. Now, of course, Sarara needs definition. We'll see too, but first, the most simplest explanation is that Sarara applies to positions of authority. People are appointed, even chosen, to a position of authority. They get to rule in a certain area. That position and authority vests the bear of the position with some of the authority, the ultimate Malchus on earth, the Melech, and even in some sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. And once a person has it, it cannot be removed from him. Not a person can have a psul that mandates his removal, impeachment we'd call it, but maybe some would call it, but nonetheless, those are exceptional situations. Generally not. Now if you look at the Ramah number 7, in Yoredeya, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Simon Reish Mem Hei, right at the very end of the Simon, Umisha Huchsak L'Rav Ba'ir, a person who's muchsuk to be the rav, meaning he's established in the position. Afilu hechazik ba'atzmo ezesrara, even if he sees himself ezesrara, some position of authority, but it has to be that the people agree to it on some level, whether ab initio or subsequently. Ein laharido migdula so afal pi shabala sham acher gadol mimenu. You can't take away the position of the rav. Even if a greater Rav comes to town, afilu bno vembno laolam kodem lacherim, his son and grandson even precede others. Calls man shemimalim mokam avasem beyira vehem chachamim ktsas. As long as they fulfill the position of their fathers with reverence and they have a little knowledge, all right, a little knowledge, they can tell you to say yal v'yav on Rosh Chodesh. All right, they'll know how to bang. The bang, that also counts for something. Uvimakam sheyesh minag lekabel rav al zman katzuv, o sheminag livcha b'misha yirtzu, in a place where a rav is hired for a set amount of time, or the minig is to choose whom you want, harshus v'yadam, the tzibur can do that, but, avol kol she kibla kol aleyem, once the tzibur accepts them, v'kol shekein im osu b'ratzon asrara, and certainly in a case where they exercised authority with the permission, at the will of the people, ein l'shum gadol ba'olam l'starer lavu l'harido. There's no gadol, no greater than them, who can ever come along and say the position is not theirs.
Is that only for during that zman kotzuv?
No. Once he's in the... Unless there's a psul, it's a whole separate area. Can you fire a rav? All right? So it has to be some cause. But if there's no cause, there are really no grounds to remove him at all.
So then the Shulchan Aruch is saying so that this concept of being the Kabbal of Rav and the Zman Kotzu is a fiction. Because in theory, if he has a son...
Yes, I would say it's designed to instill a little humility in the rav. See, what's a rabbinic search? It's the people's democratic quest to vote for a dictator over them. Not in my case, of course, but most rabbis. That's what it is. Zman Kotzuv is that the Rav should think he's there for a limited amount of time. But Lamaisa, as we know, it's very hard to get rid of a Rav. Always winds up in a Din Torah. But unless there's some psul, some disqualification, almost never any grounds for it. Mere popularity is not going to count for much.
It goes both ways. He said yeah. For
In other words, if
then right after he says,
I think that's the point. Once they choose, you know, they have the right to choose. Let's say new town, no Rav, or let's say Rav dies and he has no successors. Then they get to choose. Once they choose,
and he has a successor.
Huvanav Bekerav Yisrael. That's correct.
Is there like a minimum raise that the Rav has to get? Because there are different ways.
I remember, right. You cut his salary to a zero or to a dollar a week, right? Or I remember what I practiced law, the minhag of the time was, if an associate was to be fired, he just showed up one morning and his entire desk was cleaned. There was nothing on it. And then he knew he no longer had a job. So, but the thing is, a lot of the discussion related not to... Nobody told me not to shut my phone off. See? It's not davening. A lot of the discussion, oddly enough, relates to a Shliach Tzibur. And here we have an Archaim in Siman Nun Gimel, where the discussion is that even a Shliach Tzibur Shehizkin, Shliach Tzibur gets old, he is allowed to appoint a successor as well. His son, rather. He can choose his son. Now the Ramah, it's in number 10, says, I'm sorry, the Ramah number 8, Shat Shehizkin Verotza Lemanos Beno L'Sayo L'Frakim, and he wants to appoint his son to help him. Afal Pi She'en Kol Beno Arev Kekolo, even if his son doesn't have a voice that's as pleasant as his father's, Imimale Mikomo B'Shar Dvarim Beno Kodem L'Chol Adom V'Enatzi B'Chol M'Chos B'Yado. He fills his father's position in other ways. The son still takes the position of the father, and that Tzibur has no right to protest. What's that? Yes, indeed. Now, this is a true quote in the Rashba. You don't have the notes, it's just too much. But that was the case. It happened in a shul in Ushka. The chazan was there for 38 years, and then Achshav Zakanto Vashafta. He's old, can't do what he used to do, and he wants to appoint his son to spell him occasionally. And the people protested because, and they said to him, in a nice way, as only Jews can say it, Hachbeid v'shev v'vesecho. Go sit home, all right, and let us take care of our business. And Shimon answers, no. Toshash miktsas kochi. Ve'ini kovdo mizoken. I can't lain as I did before. I can't daven all the time. Let my son help me. And they came, and the people protested. Apparently, as it was, most of the kol wanted it, and there were 10 malcontents who did not. When I say most, it was over 150. 150 agreed, and 10 were opposed. And the Teshuva came to the Rashba, and he answered, Hadin im Shimon Shliach Tzibur mikama tamim. The halacha follows Shimon the Shliach Tzibur for a number of reasons. This was synopsized by the Ramah here, that he wants to appoint a successor, first a Sgan, then a successor, Harishus B'yado. But he used the interesting phrase that many of the Acharonim discussed, Lefima Shani Romi Minag Osana Mekomos, why see from the custom in other places, Habonim Ismanim Idas Atziv Chazon Tachasavos, that the Kol does accept the child of the Chazin as the successor, so he does have preference. But he used the expression Miminag Osan Hamekomos. It's the minig of the places. Implication being, if it's the minig of the places, it's not halacha. And another place can have a different minhag. So a number of achronim, we'll get back to it later, but he says at the very end of the tshuva, Shadin nosein, shebno kodem l'chol adam, that the din requires that his son take precedence in all other cases as well. What's the problem here? There's no srara. That's correct. So here the chikrei lev of Yosef Chazan, he was a Turk from Izmir, and he spent the rest of his, a good part of his years in Hebron, died in 1820. So Chikrei Lev has a number of tshuvas on this issue, and he redefined srara, and he said, he quotes the Chinuch actually, that srara can not only mean a position of authority. For example, you make rulings in different matters, you're a posek halachos, but srara can also be a minui shel kavod. Any appointment that has kavod with it, honor associated with it. I know there's old jokes about chazanim and honor, and everyone hates him. But nonetheless, it's right, that's right. But it's a minui shel kavod. What's not a minui shel kavod? So you see, there are other minuyim that do not have kavod. The Achron mentioned a balon, for example, a sapar. You had communities, they would appoint a person the bathhouse attendant, appoint the person the barber of the town. The minoy. And he had a claim to the position. But it wasn't a hereditary position. He couldn't give it over to his children. And it wasn't a minas shel kavod. He could prevent someone else from coming in. He could even appoint, if he's going on vacation, someone to fill in for him. But it wasn't something conveyed to his child, because there's no srara involved in terms of authority, nor is it a minas shel kavod. But you see, in fact, to be a shlech tzibur, which involved a number of things, to daven for the amud, to read from the Torah, and it could be you're also part of the teaching community, could be you served as an aide at different functions, you had all these minuyim, all these ancillary aspects of the job. That too is a minu shel kavod. And here you have a number 11, I'm sorry, the Mishnah Berurah. Number 9, shat shehizkin, v'hu adin b'chol ha-minuyim, gam kem b'no kodem, afil yeshachem gadol menu. Not just shech zibor, but other minuyim as well. And in number 10, he quotes also the Rashba that I just summarized outside. The Rivash had a similar tshuva in number 11. Also, another problem, these problems recurred with alarming frequency in Jewish life. There was a Rav, Reb Matisyahu, in a certain town in Spain who died. He was succeeded by his, I'm sorry, he was in France, succeeded by his son, Reb Yochanan, and then an interloper, big Talmud Chacham, named Rav Yeshaya, a Talmud of the Maram in Rutenberg, came, and he said, now I'm going to be the Rav. And the and do Gittin, and the Rosh Yeshiva. And the followers of Rabbi Yochanan protested, and the Rivash said, what are you talking about? Of course, this Rabbi Yeshaya can't come in and take over. Umin adin b'no kam tachtav. Rabbi Matisyo died, min adin, his son takes over. This is the Rivash in Reish Ayin Aleph. Lozeh, last three lines. Im yoma harav Rabbi Yeshaya, I need gadol mirav Rabbi Yochanan b'chachma. I'm greater than him. I'm bigger than Chacham. Afal pichein ein memanin oso. Nonetheless, he cannot be appointed. Shekvar noda mafursam lekol shemirav Rabbi Yochanan mimalei makom avoso b'yir aschet. He's great. He's as great as his ancestors in his fear of sin. Therefore, he cannot be removed. Nothing to do. Well, where do we move from here? So you see, one limitation of Tosefta in Mesecha Shkalim in number 14, in terms of Kedima, that Kol HaKodem B'Nach HaKodem B'Sraro Suvat Shiyat Yinag Minag Kiminag Avosav. All right, you have to be able to succeed your fathers, be on a certain level, minimum threshold. And I threw in also the Mishnah Adios at the end of Perek Hay that speaks about Kavim Mahalal and his son. He was in Cherem, and his son was going to succeed him, and he wanted to, the son asked that the father put in a good word for him with his chaverim, and he said, Lav, ma'asecha yikarvucha u'ma'asecha yirachakucha. No, it's all up to you. It's your deeds. If you're worthy, they'll draw you in. If you're not, then that is that. All right, well, so far it seems pretty clear. And you could disband the whole search committee, yes. Well, my son doesn't want the job, aside from that, yeah.
In the Chumash, we have Hashem telling Moshe to appoint Yehoshua.
Yes.
And he didn't tell him to appoint Gershom.
His son. Notwithstanding, that's what Moshe wanted. And Rashi says there in Parshas Pinchas, he was a bit perturbed that God did not want one of his sons to take over for him. But that point is raised by the Chassam Sofer. We'll see it in a few moments. What's that? That's correct. That's good. But nonetheless, Moshe assumed, because he had a Din Melech as well, he assumed one of his sons would take over for him.
Does this fact that the Ben gets, let's call it Zchus Kadima, for lack of a better
term? Right. Well, no, we didn't get to Zchus Kadima.
I said
claim.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that only if the father specifies B'ni, or
no.
Even if he doesn't specify?
No. So the issue would be, let's say there's several sons. Does the Bechor have Kadima? Well, in terms of Yerusha, what do we say? If it's Yerusha, Bechor Kodem. All right? That would seem to be. Nonetheless, you see, Rebbe didn't do that. Shimon was holding Gamaliel. But nonetheless, in theory. But before we even get onto that, the Magen Avraham is the one who introduces the counterside in the Din of Shlech Tzibur we discussed a few minutes ago. And that's in number 12, again in Siman Nun Gimel. And here he quotes, he says that the son takes precedence, Ima Ben Ra'ui, if he's fitting. But then he quotes the Marashdam, Rav Shmuel de Modina, a Salonikin, 16th century, big posek. It's the underlying part, number 12. Rashdam says, Kosav, De Bechocham Hamemuna Laharbitz Torah Oladin Lor Minon Kach. It's very well and good with Shech Tzibur. Melech, no doubt about it. But not when it comes to Torah. Not when it comes to being a dayan, Psak Halacha. Because the Chol HaMinuyin Shem Keser Torah Ein B'neim Kodmin Rak Mehil HaNosi Ve'elach Nogush B'neim Kodmin. But the B'nuyim that are the crown of Torah, to that it's not going to apply. Why is that? Because the Keser Torah is open to everyone. So you could say there's a difference, in theory, between a minui reflecting an institution, malchus, monarchy, kuna gadola, the high priesthood. Their Yerusha plays a role because it's an institution that vests in a person and then it's carried from generation to generation. But Torah is not like that. Torah is not an institution that vests in any particular individual. Marasha Kilos Yaakov. It belongs to everyone. As we'll see, some of the sources wrote openly that the Keser Torah, Gemara says, is Munach L'Kol, Kol Rotzeh Litol Yavo V'Yitol. Anyone can claim the crown of Torah. If that's the case, then you can't say it has to be Yerusha from father to child. There are other problems with terming it an inheritance, because it doesn't really fit in to the category or the concept of inheritance as we know it. Yerusha applies in the first instance, the primary instance, to mamon, to money. Money is bequeathed from one generation to the next. Secondly, and it'd be a particular problem in, my hypothetical context, there's no din of Yerusha Mechayim. Yerusha means lachar misa. That's not the same as saying, I'm leaving, and therefore I give my son my position. Where do you have this case of Yerusha Mechayim? That you don't have, it's totally different. Then, of course, you have the case that Jackie mentioned. Let's say Rav is fired. Let's say even for cause. Let's say he could sue. Let's say he could be removed a psul. He's a ganav, all right? And you can't have that. If the minui is canceled, then you certainly wouldn't say that it can be transmitted to the next generation. You can make an argument that if a minui of srara is canceled, then there's no greater bittul srara than that. So it doesn't apply in any event. Secondly, and fourthly rather, Yerusha is generally divided amongst the heirs, all right, with mominus. All the heirs take, but it's only one position. So it's not your typical Heftosh al Kedusha that's going to be conveyed from generation to generation. It's the Shut of the Marashdam, actually I wrote number 13, I gave a little segment as well. So he says it exists even in terms of Shlech Tzibur, but in terms of Manig Yisrael, that it has to be a Pakia B'dine Torah, Bein b'dine mamonus, shadai not taputa mizeh, gives to the others chayev misa, bein begitner kiddushin, you can't say that. It can't be hereditary, because it's not just that you need a bare threshold of knowledge, you need much more than that. Ad shalibi omerli b'li safek, my heart tells me without any doubt, shadibe harab b'inyin tamid chacham, that the Rav, meaning the Ramah, was not referring to it, the case of Talmud Chacham, Kereksiv, Tzedek Tzedek Terdov, Halach Arbeisin Yofa. And here's the Gemara, Gimel Zerim Haim, the three wreaths, three crowns. V'keser Torah eino Yerusha. El Koretz Elito Yovo V'yito. So therefore, the Marashdam says it's not going to apply. Following it first, the approach of the Marashdam was the Chsam Sofer. In a very interesting tshuva, the Chsam Sofer says, what was the number? 16. V'hi salka daitach, it's chelek alef and archaim simen yud beis. Malchus havi Yerusha, so the king dies, the son takes over. Yesham delav Yerusha mamish, kamalche umosom, said, even in Jewish life, it's not the same as it is amongst the nations. Sha'aretz lohem, marishim levnehem, the king owns the land, one of the sources of Din Mechus Adina, it's his land, and they bequeath it to their children. Yechochamotipesh, whether the offspring is wise or foolish. Uvamach Yisrael ain't okay. Amongst Jewish kings, it's not like that. Shanach la'ena shalo, rakakisi agdil. So I gave a shiur last week about impeachment, and you see the Sanhedrin, they're basically how to ratify the appointment of a king, and they could even on occasion supervise the removal of a king. So it's not enough just to say it's an automatic transference of this particular asset. That you can't say. And he quotes the Marashdam, B'chol minui ha-Torah v'ha-Rav Rabbonu she'ena b'Yerusha. That in fact, any minui that relates to Torah and Rabbonus, that can't be an inheritance. Al-Kedusha v'ha-Rav ha-Torah e'na b'Yerusha l'vneyem b'chlal. So he goes on to say, it's right in the middle, where it's bolded, Hayot Seilonu Mizel Inin Lindon Shalfanenu, Ein Rova Tzibur Maskibim Alov, Lios Lahem Larav, Vitofes Yeshiv, Chadome, Ein Lo Listarer Lehem Mitam Nachos Avosov Klal. If the Tzibur doesn't want it, then he has no claim, the son has no claim to the position at all. And what the Ramah writes, a bon of Kodmin, Nami Ahichzik Atzum Bisroakoi, it's when he assumed the position. Assume the authority. Avoloa ha'rav rabbonus. Ach I atzibor hiskimu alav. Afili etayma mishum shirotzim lasus nachus ulerabam. Mishum disla yizchus avos. Pshita dezeh ha'menagdash ha'kedinosim etzar atzibor vasiv tinsadin. But if the tzibor does want it, no one can protest. So we can understand the Chsam Sofer saying he certainly has kedimus. He has precedence in terms of other people. The Tzibur wants it, no one can protest. If the Tzibur doesn't want it, Chsam Sofer said he has no right. Well, it seems very clear, except for one thing. Look at number 17, and it seems that Chsam Sofer retracted, at least partially. Bad for the rabbinic business. This is the very next tshuva, Siman Yun Gimel. So Chsam Sofer writes, Al-kach dibarti mi derech musa v'derech eretz. I'm writing derech musa v'derech eretz. Omnam hanoger mizeladina kushta ka'amina. Ki ad hayom azeh farbo lefneiza masim b'inan kazev al-reis halach le'masa. That there's no kedima lebein if there's no someone else better and the tzibur wants. That's what it said is mikra din. V'omnam hayom chazarti. I retract. V'yanti bazeh l'kaim divrei haramah. And I'm analyzing it in order to confirm, to uphold the words of the Ramah. Devadai nosi ator bizman chazal hoya kaimini kedusha levad lo sherus. They don't be rusha. That to be a nosi b'tor in the time of chazal was a mini kedusha. It wasn't just a service. Achashov. Who kimeshuba lekol lasa tzarchem bischar v'lagar mishatz? Now a rav is hired. It's a position. There's srara, but he's no worse than a chazan. Those are shech sibur. Va'atu meshu gam kein sar betar migra gara. He should be considered worse than a shech sibur. That can't be. He didn't retract fully and said it's a Yerusha. The son always has the first claim, but he concludes by saying. Underlined, l'sheagia hadaver l'chal zeh tzarch mitun v'schakmus v'zman yagid l'tova. Whenever it happens, you have to take it under deliberation. We have to be shrewd and cautious and use our seichel and hope for the right decision. Was it a complete retraction? Not necessarily. Was it a retraction of sorts? Absolutely. And you see this bolstered by the Michtav Sofer, his son Reb Shimon, number 19, in Yeridaya Simon Chav Gimel. He writes that he heard, Okovdo Yadel Chasi, I heard terrible news, a particular Rav died. And then the question came to him, they don't want to appoint the son of the Rav. Yesh, underline, Yesh Ktsas Mibdeki Laschem Misnagdim Latova Yasher Azeh. There's a group, small group, that are opposed to doing the right thing, letting the son succeed the father. And they've hung themselves on this great tree. Who's the Ilan Gadol? He says, my father, the Chassam Sofer, in the Tshuva Yud Beis that we just discussed. And they want to hold Rav like the Magen Avraham, and like the Maharash Dam, and Asar Mamaris, that's the Ramah Mifano, said the same thing. Ben Meskein, it's a tshuva of Chassam Sofer, but he says, I'm broken by this, because, interesting expression, kol harotze lachnok atzmo, yitla atzom ilan gadol. He first wants to strangle himself, so he can hang himself from a tall tree also. Umay midvar v'din Torah, and do exactly what the language, the straight language says. But look at number 20, right below, he's puzzled. Loma ha'elimu einehem mimashekosov Adoni Ovi Mori v'Rabbi Zatzal b'Simin Yud Gimel. I mean, Chazar to the Antip is the kind of Ramah. Why do they quote only Yud Beis and not Yud Gimel? So the Michtav Sofer concludes that no, b'chol anhogos hakilos roi abein al pidin Torah l'nachlas avosov l'malas mekomo, that the son should be a yoresh. That's how the Ksav Sofer finishes this particular point. Why? So the Michtav Sofer adds another point. So we had Sroar in terms of Rabbanus, we had also Minui Shel Kavod, and now he adds a third point, and that is what he calls Kavod HaMimuneh. Meaning Kvod Rav, the predecessor. Kvod Rav means you show honor to him by pointing his son as his replacement, as a successor. That's Kvod Rav. I Mechayim, how could that be? So you can't have Yerusha Mechayim. Sechamet says no, because you see from the case in the Rashba that the Ramah quoted of the Shlech Tzibur, Shatosh Ashkocho, he gets older. He wants an assistant. He could do it as well. Tosh Kocho means such a thing exists even before death. The Maram Shik, you don't have in front of you, was a great Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, is puzzled, among others, why the Rashba used the expression of he's seen that this is the Minig HaMakomos, and he says, if there's no Minig HaMakom, who gets the succession? Then Yechozel L'din Torah, but you do need the Rishus HaTzibur in any event. But if he's qualified, even though there's another who's greater, I'm quoting that from the Maram Shik, greater benoi koach dibur peh, meaning he's more imposing in appearance and force and articulation. He's a better speaker. Nonetheless, lo matzi madche, it's still not appropriate to force out the son and not give the son the position, even if someone exceeds him in those areas, because that is the din Torah. Right, once we say that it's Yerusha again, well, how does the din of Yerusha work? Does it go to the grandson if there's no son? So here already the Avner Nezer said no. In number 18, he said it won't go to the grandson. The Avner Nezer Chelik Yerodeh Shimon Shin Yud Beis, he also had a number of tshuvos on this area. So you see how frequently these cases arose. And he gives a number of reasons why lahamid hayerusha berabonus, that Yerusha should exist in the Rabbanus. One, he says, the whole reis chamsofer sturmu tumuim, they're contradictory. And then he says, marash dam v'ramami fano, they're miyuta, the minority of poskim. Even in the early acharonim, not to mention the rishonim. Neged harivosh, the mabit, shoma alkabetz, etc., and especially the Rivosh was mitakife kamoi. He was such a prolific posek. So the Rove holds that there is Yerusha in the Rabbanus. He gives a second reason as well, and that is if there's shivyon, it's only a question if there's if it's not worthy. But even the Marashdam, who held this no Yerusha Brabonus, but the Kesser tells up to everyone, even he says that Shaveh b'Shaveh, the son, the child has to get it over the any other competitors that might exist. And he says in Ayin Zayin, Vato Nevar Pirtei Dinim L'chol Hashitos, he quotes the Rosh, Reb Shimshon of Song, Krovim Yarshim Bein Bekuda Bein Malchus Bein Rabbonus, Afinach Ben Sheinim Mali Mekomo, the relatives always inherit. V'adin Ben Bito Bein Rabbonus, Uva Malchus Lava Malchus Beis Dovet Shein Ben Bito Yoresh. He said the only exception is Malchus, but even a grandson would. As he comes and he rejects that a little later on, but nonetheless, since we're talking about, he said, B'shel Torah, Halech Achar HaMachmir, so there he says, I'm sorry, I retract. He says at the end, Ben Bito Yoresh Bevadib Malchus Rabbonus, even a grandson would take precedence. Now it makes sense, because you have a similar tshuva in the Imre Yosher from Amer Arik, who died in the 1920s, also a big posek. And he says, no, once it's the Yerusha, if there's no Ben, there goes the Ben Beno, then the grandson inherits as well. And that does happen occasionally also. All right, what does all that do with us in this day? So there's more to know. The story is not yet over. Here you have the Minchas Asher, Asher Weiss, in his commentary on the Chumash in Bamidbar, Nuntes. I should mention the point that was mentioned before, that's at the end of the first Psalm Sofer. And he says, we didn't get to that part, I go back to 16, Ko'es ro'ani rayach ro'ana gadola mikulon, the Psalm Sofer wrote in the first iteration of his opinion. He said the greatest raya he could find is that Moshe said to God, Yifkod elokei ruchos, shayo Moshe sova shabon of yoshim ikalmo, v'notin saraso. And God said, no, lok moshata savur, but Yoshua, your Meshores, he's going to take over from you. So you see, in fact, that even Moshe's own children did not take over for him. So if that's the case, how do you apply it to lesser rabbis? All right, a lot of the Achronim differed with that as well, because in fact, Tzivui Hashem is always going to be different than some human succession order. Okay, so Usher Weiss brings from another selection, Avne Nezer, a very long tshuva, the Achidish of the Avne Nezer. And he says, the Achidish Otzum. If you look at number 22, Lashut Avne Nezer, Kosav Lechadesh, Kishiyesh machlokas be'ir, be'in rabbanas hayoresh, bot lo hayrusha l'gamre. If a machlokas breaks out over succession, then there's no Yerusha. Why? Because a melech, the Gemara says, the Rambam quotes it, ein moshech melech ben melech. A melech ben melech does not need Mashiach. Once David HaMelech was anointed, Shlomo does not require Mashiach. Aye. Why then was Shlomo Nimshach? The Chotzi Mipnei Machlokas Adonio. You have to verify, you have to ratify the king if there are challenges to his throne. So, the point the Avne Nezer made, if there's a Machlokas in succession, then you require Mashiach. Meaning, Mashiach is a form of choice. It's a volitional act on the part of the Sanhedrin to say this one is Roy. But now that you have machlok, now it's not once it's not automatic, then no holds barred. The doors are open to any committee or anyone else. Rashi is not so enamored with it. He says zechidush atzum. It's a great chidush, and he tries to ameliorate it and even modify it, but it doesn't stand to reason necessarily, because it's not the Mashiach of the Melech which makes him the Melech. That's not the mechanism that makes him the king. The mechanism that makes him the king is the Yerusha. The Mashiach is just the ratification of that. That's two separate concepts. But then he says something else as well, a very insightful point. And you go back to 21, that according to the opinion that Ah, we're almost finished. That Ein Yerusha Berabonus, that only applies first if he's not Roi. But Beshavin, everyone agrees he should have Kedima. Secondly, he says, you need Haskamas HaTzibur, because the Tzibur has to be the ones to accept upon themselves the Rav. But then he says below a very interesting point, that Yerusha here is not Yerusha as we would generally understand it, like Yerusha of property. It's not a din in Parshas Nachalos. Why? You see this point? If that's the case, B'mokom Shem Ben Yorei Shav. Let's say the son had a position, right? And the son has no children. Leaves a father. Would you say the father inherits the son? No. If there's no son, it's a bishlam, a bebas, a daughter. The boss can't be a rabbi. That could never happen in our world. Why don't you go down the train of the chain of succession? So see, it's not a din in Parshas Nachlos. What's it a din in? Parshas HaMelech. Once it's din in Parshas HaMelech, the entire way we understand it is going to change. It's just a din in Srara. In which case, a din in transference of Svara can have different guidelines, different parameters than a transfer that takes place through the laws of Nachlos. That's why this is the type of Yerusha that's not divided amongst the heirs. It can't be. Let's say, by the way, for example, you can, there's a momentous aspect, let's say it's a Rav, he gives Hashgacha to 100 different products, all right? Does he bequeath that Hashgacha to his heirs? It's 100. If the four sons each get 25, yeah, it does happen. But should it happen? Each get 25? No, not necessarily. So therefore, it's not quite Yerusha, but nonetheless, even Rav Asher Weiss concludes in 23 and 24 that there's still a din of Kedima as well. One of the points Rav Sternbach raises in number 25 in Chulos on Hanhagos, Kraft Bay's Tov Shin Yud Tes. What number do you have?
22.
All right, whatever it is, Rav Sternbach. Yerusha Barabonis, Achorim Harichu bin Yerusha Barabonis is a long discussion. In the second paragraph, V'nir dechol dira chsam sof bizman amurim. It's talking about the chsam sofer's time, which is now 2 centuries ago. Avu bizmanenu, in our time, nishtan hametzius, reality has changed. Shikar had shikar din Yerusha, Hainu berabonus hu kemelech, where we'll say there's a din of Yerusha Rabbonus, it's like where the Rav is a king. Shemolech kertsono, v'sholeit levad. He's the ruler, he's the shalit. Kilu hu shalom morish holom. Avo bizman hazeh, hine beretz Yisrael, beharbi mekomos, magbilu mesamchu yos harav. But now in Israel he says, they limit the authority of the Rav. V'chem begolah, Yesh committee shemefached mehem. There's a committee. The Rav's afraid of the committee. The board of directors. Im kain ein lo meluch. That applies to some people. Im kain ein lo melucha barabonos. He says there's no such melucha. Kai gavna harei rak ein pakid shaved. He's like just a public servant, like a bureaucrat. Lachainir dischus Yerusha yom barabonos. Lo alum kolkach. It's not that strong anymore today. Nonetheless, he says, beginning of the last paragraph, Roy lishtadl ma'od limnos es haben dafka. We should try very hard to appoint the son, Shakarish Baruch Hu manik lo siyata d'shma miuchedes. The son of the Rav has a special siyata d'shmaya that God helps him as well. So, what do we say l'maskana? We'd have to conclude. All right, as of now, my son does not want my position. But nonetheless, the son of the Rav has precedence. It's over anyone else. It's arguable whether there's a chiyuv or not. There's a mitzvah on the tzibur to be memana the ben, if in fact the ben is equal to all others, and he's worthy of his ancestors. But the truth is, these arguments will never, never fade. I'll make one other point. We spoke about Yerusha Mechayim. So if a Rav moves from Pinsk to Minsk, all right, I mean he gives up the job, then the question is why? If he's forced out, like I said before, so the Ein Lecha Bittel Srar Gadol Mizo. If he's forced out, Srar meant nothing. But if he leaves on his own, then why should it be different? The position adhered in him to that extent, you see, Malchus is transferred to Mechaim. How do we see that? Sadly, Adonio claimed it, Avshalom claimed it. If any other time, even Yeravam claimed part of the Malucha from Rechavam. So you see, there is such an inyan that even Malchus can devolve on someone else, Mechaim as well. So it depends on the circumstances. And like I said before, these arguments in Jewish life, thank God, will never end. Machlokas Hashem Shamayim, Sofa Liskayim. I thank you all very much.